Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Yesterday, we talked about the first four keys to understanding how much money is enough. A brief review. Number one, God requires us to have enough money to be truly joyful when we tithe. Deuteronomy 26, 11 and 12. Deuteronomy 26, 11 and 12. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house, when thou hast made an end of tithing of all tithes and of thine increase. God says, we must be in an attitude of rejoicing when we tithe.
Number two, God requires us to have enough money to be able to adequately do our part to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the whole world. In Acts 1:8, it says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now notice that the word both is in this verse. It shows us how we are able to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. The word both is used here meaning simultaneously. So, allowing us to paraphrase the verse to emphasize the vastness, the word adds both to the Great Commission. Ye shall be witnesses of me simultaneously in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It means that we need to help send that gospel around the world.
Amen. Number three, God requires us to have enough money to contribute toward a better than average standard of living for your pastor or minister. 1 Timothy 5:17-18. 1 Timothy 5:17-18 in the Living Bible Translation. Pastors who do their work well should be paid well and should be highly appreciated, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say, never tie up the mouth of an ox when it's treading out the grain. Let him eat as he goes along. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay.
Number four, God requires us to have enough money to properly provide for those of our own household. Genesis 26:25 says, he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Notice the progression. Isaac's first act was to build an altar, seeing to things of God before anything else. Then he took care of his family by pitching a tent. And last of all, he took care of his vocation. His servants dug a well, for he was a well digger by trade.
Now let's continue our conversation about how much money is enough. Here's the fifth of the 12 keys. God requires you to have enough money to give good gifts to your children. How discouraging it must be to the children of Christian families who must always hear that after tithing and giving to missions, there isn't enough money to have any of their heart's desires. This type of disappointment can embitter children long after they become adults. Hear the word of God on this matter.
Matthew 7:9 says, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? And in Matthew 7:11, it says, 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things?
Please don't misunderstand us. We're not encouraging you to spoil your children. Good parents have to teach their children the value of things. However, the Bible says never satisfying the heart's desire will eventually affect them.
In Proverbs 13, verse 12, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick.
Think about it. Just how much money must you have to tithe with a joyful heart, properly fund the gospel outreach, give ample support to your pastor or minister, provide a good living and education for your family, as well as giving good gifts to your children? And let me say here, particularly this time of year, as we're 19 days away from Christmas, you know, I'm guilty of this. I'm confessing now that my oldest son, his mother and I were married for 4 years. And when Bev and I got married, we've been married 46 years, 9 months, and 2 days.
Wee.
but back in the day, I never felt like we have enough to give him, because I guess I was wanting to impress him with my giving. And we now teach people, don't buy on Good Friday, no, Black Friday, what you can't pay off until Good Friday a year or two later. I remember some years, honey, what we bought for Christmas, we paid off in May and June. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about teaching them proper values about money. We're talking about you using wisdom in what you buy, and recognize it doesn't have to be an expensive gift. And it really doesn't matter what all the other kids get.
That's true. If you give them what's important.
That's it.
That's support and love.
And that's you. Number six, God requires us to have enough money to have a good savings account. Now, that's a fact. Statistics tell us the average American has only about $3,800 in savings. That's the average. I believe many of God's people have less. Deuteronomy 28 contrasts the believer who does what God commands with the one who refuses.
And believe me, all this is leading us to the point that when we do what's right in God's sight, he'll make sure we have what we need.
Absolutely.
In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 5, it says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments. And then in verse 5, it says, blessed shall be thy basket and thy store.
God blesses obedient Christians and their baskets as well as their store. The store speaks of that which you're setting aside or storing up for a later date. From these verses, we can see that God expects us to have financial reserves. The list of blessing goes on for 14 verses in this chapter. Then in verse 15, God tells us what will happen to those who walk contrary to his will. They will have no savings.
In Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 and 17, it says, it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And verse 17 says, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store.
Wow. It's obvious from these scriptures that God wants us to have, so this really is another way to say it, substantial amount of money in savings. Please consider one more scripture that reinforces God's requirement of us having a proper savings account.
Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children.
God says a good person leaves an inheritance for his children as well as his grandchildren or her grandchildren. Just how much money will it take for you to joyfully tithe, give proper offerings to evangelize the world, do your part to provide a better than average living for your pastor or minister, take proper care of your family, give good gifts to your children, as well as having a substantial savings account? Now hold on tight. We're just halfway through this list of 12 things. But let's look at number 7. God requires us to have enough money to fund a proper retirement plan. Preparing for retirement can be an expensive business, especially when you take into account the process that's called inflation. The next question we should be asking is, does the Bible say anything about retirement?
In Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8, Proverbs 6, 6 through 8, it says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest."
We won't attempt to tell you how much to invest each month for your retirement. Only a qualified professional can help you answer that question. God merely wants us to make you and everybody else aware of His requirement for us to gather and store enough finances while we're young to see us comfortably through old age.
We'll be glad we did.
Amen. Number 8, God requires you to have enough money to pay all your bills in a timely manner. No one should ever have to use the word deadbeat to describe a Christian. Unfortunately, there is an ever-increasing number of Christians with a reputation of not paying their bills. The Word of God says when you walk as God wants you to walk, you'll have plenty of money available for day-to-day expenses, making it possible for you to pay all your bills in a timely manner.
Deuteronomy 28, verses 2 and verse 5. It says, "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." And in verse 5, it says, "Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store."
Here we see it again. Blessings are supposed to overtake you in your basket. In other words, the money you use to meet your daily expenses. Contrast this with a financial position of the disobedient child of God. From verse 15 and beyond.
Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 and 17. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, all these curses shall come upon thee. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store," as it says in verse 17.
There is no way possible for us to determine exactly how much money you'll need to pay all your bills on time, each and every month. That's something you have to decide.
And it's also called financial discipline.
That's exactly right. How much money will be enough for you to joyfully tithe, help evangelize the world, provide a good lifestyle for your pastor, minister, take proper care of your family, give good gifts to your children, have a substantial savings account, fund a proper retirement, pay your bills on time every month? That's an answer you'll come up with as you seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit.
Amen and amen.
We'll finish this teaching tomorrow.
The Lord be willing.
That's true.
I'm sure He is.
Amen. But in the meantime, if you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Up at the top where it says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed He'd have you put in the ground. Do what He says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.